Hi, I'm Archit.
And I'm Shirin.
And welcome to Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin, a podcast where two amateur cooks,
if you say so,
talk about all things food, from ingredients, recipes, techniques, and lessons from our trials in the kitchen. Every episode, Shirin, our producer Natasha, and I will do a deep dive into one singular topic and talk about literally everything we know.
So what are we talking about today, Archit?
Today we're talking about air fryers, the fascinating little product that always looks like an egg but does really magical things that we're always in love with but also are skeptical about. It's really, really fascinating, and we're here to talk all about it.
Mine does not look like an egg. Just
yours so. Doesn't? Really? I think like every air fryer looks like an egg.
I don't know what you've been doing with your life, but no. So if anyone's, I really hope people are listening, but to everyone who's listening, see, I'm being more optimistic. Not all air fryers look like eggs, okay? Not all air fryers look like eggs.
But like, didn't they start like that? Like they started off looking like really weird. Like, you know, you do think of an oven.
Mine looks like Judy Jetson would have it. So.
So like a little like rectangular, but like very like top heavy, like, you know, like.
Oh my God, please don't body shame my air fryer. That's terrible. Wow. Okay. You know what? I know we're getting back to recording after a really long time because we've been very busy. But wow, that's rude. That's rude. You're rusty.
I forgot what the roles were in this like podcast, you know, like who was supposed to be the mean one. So I'm like flipping it around.
And is there a difference in your other podcast and how the roles are there?
No, I'm talking about like us, but yeah, sure.
Because I have a feeling Tashu probably bullies you in that too. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, she definitely does. There's no doubt in that.
This really awkward long pause, which said so much.
I had to like pause for cough, like I was coughing.
God,
it's Delhi's air, you know, it's just getting to me.
But air fryers, I love them. And I believe you've done a little bit of research. And you know, this time, for once, I'm actually okay with it. Because you told me, guys, before we started recording, he said, I have a few fun facts, I don't have too many. I'm like, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I was surprised. Like, I thought that I'd have a whole lot more. But like, so air fryers are technically an oven. And they function just like an oven, except that they blow very hot air, which also ovens do. Like they're called convection ovens, and most ovens will have a feature where you can blow hot air. So yeah. In the larger scheme of like technology, they are essentially like a miniaturized version of a single use of an oven, which is to blow hot air. And what's really interesting about them is the fact that they're actually a term that was, the word air fryer was actually just created by a company. It's not a technical term like an oven or a you know, stock pot or something like that. It's not generic.
Marketing is going to run the world. I mean, yeah.
Do you want to take a guess at who named this?
I don't know.
On top of your head, if you're like, you know.
Philips?
Yeah, exactly. Philips did this. Philips started this in 2010. They're the biggest people like in the air fryer game. They're the most well known. And now, of course, like there are lots of people and we just call it air fryers now. But like it's an actual like brand that they have called an air fryer.
Love it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, not that you were asking, you were telling. You're absolutely right about air fryers being basically mini ovens. I think one point that you missed out, just a little feedback, is that they're just, because they are like such a small enclosed space, they are able to give you results which mimic frying, the crispiness, the texture and everything, which you might not get in an oven. Like, so if I were to put the same food in a convection oven versus in an air fryer, there would be some differences in how it turns out, simply because of the surface area we're working with. So.
Yeah. And it's because it's like very concentrated. Like everything is in a smaller space. And that's, yeah, like you said, that's the USP. But, you know, that being said, I will tell you this, that like most chefs hate air fryers because they're literally an additional appliance that is not needed in a professional kitchen. But that being said, I think that they're a very, very smart product. And I know you love them a whole lot.
Yeah. Just a little bit of story time. But before that, I think, honestly, like a few chefs do have a chip on their shoulder.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not all of us have professional grade kitchens at home. And honestly, nobody gives a shit. So,
wait, can I tell you something about this? Like, that you just talked about the chef thing, because I have like a really tiny thing.
No chefs are going to collaborate with us now, by the way.
That's okay. But the one thing that really bothered me, so like recently, one of the Reels series that I did on Instagram was focused on like chopping. And I don't have like a professional chopping like method. Like I didn't learn it professionally. I've like learned as I've gone along and through YouTube and things like that. Now, of course, there are certain things that you have to do when you're chopping a vegetable, which, you know, every, like if you like actually learn professionally, they'll tell you, which is to make that bear claw and then like hold the knife in such a way that like it like rubs through the knuckle as compared to like hitting the knuckle and why and all of those things. But like in a home setting, or even if you're cooking for like more than five or four people or whatever in volume, you don't really need to do those things to be quote unquote right. Like there, everyone cuts vegetables. It's just a like, you know, like a way to showcase it.
Oh, Joe, did you get trolled?
I did. And I mean, whatever. I think it was good feedback for sure. Like, I think, yes, you can always be better. But like, I also, on the contrary, think that like, if there is a way to like cut vegetables that is right, there's also like multiple ways to do it. So it was just a
interesting. I would want to see the comments and then I'll decide whether they were critiquing or.
I mean, they were really nice. Like the comments weren't like you suck or something. Like they were nice comments. They were like, hey, you're doing this really well, but you could have done it better. Or something.
For a second, I thought that you were like, they weren't like you. And I was
No. But other than that, like, yeah, I think there is like a certain level of like elitism when it comes to things that are done in a chefing world or in like a very professional setting than when it's done in a home setting. And some of those things are definitely things that like when you look at it, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. But then some of them are like, okay, like, you know, you can chill a little bit.
Yeah, like even, and I know you don't like her, but like even Nigella or Alison Roman,
yeah,
a huge part of their appeal has to do with the fact that they kind of throw the, you know, the long route which out if it's not necessarily always the best route. And sometimes just making things simple is what works, and especially at home, and especially when, you know, you have a million other things to do. And I think this is just a whole, like, all professionals, like, as a marketer, I think I would also be a little, like, judgy. But so I guess it just happens. So no shade there. But yeah, some folks carry it very well and some just don't. And whatever. I think air fryers are great. And as someone who just got one, like, 4 months ago and was super excited about her purchase, I have to say that I have used it almost every single day. And it has been an absolute delight. Like, an absolute delight. Like, for me...
Was this your first air fryer?
Yeah. I mean, you know this. I texted the two of you and I was just, like, really excited about buying an air fryer. And I was like, guys, should I do it? And I did it.
I didn't know this was your first. I thought this was just like you're like replacing an air fryer with something like a new air fryer.
I'm not just excited for everything in life, okay? Just saying. But at first I didn't use it much because I was just like, oh, the only thing to do in this is frozen food. And then I was kind of going, I was changing the way I eat completely. So getting rid of like anything that's like, I mean, think like those cheesy chili potato shorts. I wasn't having them anymore.
Right.
High protein. And of course, even in that, like ready to eat foods are acceptable. But at first I thought it's just for snacks and I used it very well for snacks and I was pretty pleased. But as I changed my eating patterns, my God, the air fryer has been such an absolute lifesaver, because I can make fish in it, I can make chicken in it, I can put sausages in it, I can put seekh kebab in it, I can do whatever, and I just have to look at it. Like, I time it, I leave it, and I don't have to flip anything around, I don't have to do anything, and it just turns out so great. So for me, it's fantastic. And especially as someone who enjoys experimenting but doesn't necessarily anymore have the time to commit to standing by the stove.
Yeah.
Game changer. Totally. What about you?
I feel like your next investment has to be a crock pot.
I don't know. I've been reading about them and I'm just not impressed.
Why? Slow cooking would be such a fascinating thing for you. Like, put it up, like, put it in the morning, and then like lunchtime you have like a whole meal ready for you.
I don't think so. I mean, theoretically, yes, but no.
I guess I know what I have to get you for your birthday.
Please don't. Please don't.
6 months away, so I'll be fine.
More than. I have 7 months to change this man's mind. Yay. Will she be able to save her birthday? But yeah, you tell me about you and the air fryer. I mean, I know that you're more of an eater of the air fryer food than a maker of the air fryer food.
Yeah, so like Natasha uses the air fryer religiously, like just like you, I think their whole family uses it. We're in like the like space where like in our house we do use it for certain things. Like, you know, we always get like fresh peanuts in our house and then we roast them ourselves. So that's something that we do, and that's literally like what it was bought for, I think, at the start.
So lazy.
Yeah, very lazy. So that's what it was used for the longest time. But I think more so now than ever before, we have started using it a whole lot more. Largely like vegetable forward meals, like meats are still like baked, because I don't know, it's just like naturally you think of like the oven to be the source for like cooking of meat. But I know you've been using it for like almost all your meals. You want to talk about like your meals that you're using it for?
Yeah, definitely. So breakfast, I will throw a couple of sausages in there and I'll just make eggs on the stove. And by the time my eggs are ready, my sausages are ready as well. I don't have to add any extra grease, because I mean, the sausages already do come with a few stabilizers and stuff, so it works out just fine. And just before I get into all of this, I don't know if air fryers are healthier ways of cooking, but I do know that they're simpler. So that's one. Lunchtime, a lot of what I do is I make bunless burgers at home now, which is basically, get a really nice, good quality patty or make it at home. Put it in the air fryer for like 6 minutes. It's done. Have it with good quality cheese and maybe, you know, some lettuce or some greens on the side. And that's a really good meal. And I'm probably going to do that for dinner tonight as well.
Where do you get your patties from?
You know, I used to get them from this site called Chef Me.
Yeah, they shut down, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so sad. I don't know. My dad used to love their croissants and then they just shut down. He was so sad.
So now I'm doing Meatigo.
Yeah, okay. Meatigo is good. Yeah, they're okay.
They're okay. Then not a patch on Chef Me though.
I like the pork ones that Meatigo does. We use them. We get them a lot.
Yeah, they're pretty nice. And I mean, if you think about it from a pricing perspective as well, like if I order a bunless burger from one of the cloud kitchens out there, I'm paying some 600 rupees, including delivery. While if I'm making it at home, including the cost of the patty and the vegetables and everything, it's like 200 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super economical.
Tastes the same. But for dinner, what I like to do is usually on a weeknight, around 4-ish, I'll marinate some meat. And if you haven't guessed already, I'm on a very carnivore eating plan. Which is working so well for me. I'm very happy. So either I will marinate my chicken breast or chicken thigh in like some coconut milk and a little bit of Thai curry paste or any sauces that I'm, you know, feeling. Or even like if I just do like a char siu paste, so good. Leave it in there for like, you know, a few hours. And when I'm ready to cook it, I pick it up with tongs, you know, wiggle off the excess. And right now I'm actually wiggling.
Yeah, I had a feeling like the breaks you were doing, I felt like you were like doing it.
I am like kind of playing it out. But the one thing that I do recommend when you're doing something like chicken is to preheat your air fryer really nicely. So for other stuff, I don't preheat it. I don't care enough. But for chicken or fish, I preheat it to 200 degrees for a couple of minutes. And then when I put the meat on top, there's a nice sizzle. So there's a little bit of a crispness that comes in. And then, of course, you go back to 180 or 160, depending on what meat you're cooking, and put in the time. You don't have to, you know, flip-flop it. You don't have to move it around. It's fine. And it just comes out really well. It comes out tender. It comes out crisp on the outside. Obviously, unless I do a batter, it's not going to come out like fried chicken. And I'll get to that later. But pretty cool and very easy to do. Just make sure you're not basically putting very, very wet stuff into the air fryer, because, like, it's... I mean, you could, I guess, with, like, one of those silicone mats or, like, some foil.
We use foil and it works.
I don't do that much anymore. But very easy to actually crumb coat stuff and put it in the air fryer. And it really does taste fried. So I did mozzarella sticks.
Oh, wow.
Dipped in egg and then almond flour and then dipped in egg and then almond flour. And then I froze them for a bit and then I put them in the air fryer. They were amazing.
Almond flour, that's interesting. I've never heard of that for mozzarella sticks, but that could be interesting.
It was great. And there was just a little bit of sweetness, like hardly any, but just a little from the almond flour, but great. Just so great. And similarly, anything that, you know, I have lying around in the fridge, if I just toss it in olive oil, like green beans or carrots or whatever, it just gets done very nicely. And I mean, it's really good return on my investment.
Yeah, it feels like you've already like had the return on your investment.
Yeah, easily. But you do have to be careful, right, with your air fryer. You can get burnt very easily because, I mean, the one that I have is the digital Philips one. And they've been very thoughtful about the design. So they've put in like protections and insulation so that you don't get hurt, but you still can. And because it's a deep basket, never use your hands. Yeah. Always use tongs or a fork or a spoon, whatever. Like, use a tool because you can get burnt and it's really hot. And you also have to be super careful about where you place your air fryer while using it. Like, I don't know if your house will blow up. It won't, I guess. But
no,
I like to keep...
None of these things happen. Even the pressure cooker, I know where this is coming from, but like the pressure cooker doesn't do that.
Fine, but I like to make sure that it's not backed up against a wall and has lots of breathing space. You know, just be kind to your air fryer and give it some room, like, because there will be hot air coming out, peaches here. And you want to give it some space, Archit.
I agree with you. I think, yes, you should definitely allow it to ventilate, but like, having the belief that it'll blow up is, don't do that. Like, things don't blow up.
It's like bottling
anymore.
Up your feelings, right? If you keep bottling them up, you're going to have a meltdown. And that's how I think my air fryer feels.
Yeah, but it's like, it's, you know, it's not bottling anything up because it's actually just doing its work. So, but, you know, you talked about something that was interesting, which was the whole piece on nutrition. And I mean, one of the biggest like selling pitches or sales pitches for the air fryer has always been the fact that it is a lot more, it requires less oil and therefore is a lot healthier, which actually is true because of, so it is like, it's not a causation, it's a correlation in many ways, where basically what they're saying is that because your food has less oil, you're eating less oil, hence you are eating healthier food. And that's really the whole play on it. But there's this really interesting guy on Instagram, and he's actually an author called Krishi Ashok. And he wrote this book called Masala Lab. And he recently did...
You told me about this.
Yeah, so he recently did a reel on air fryers, and that was really interesting because he basically said that, you know, the moment like you touch food to heat, it nutritionally will start to break down. So the healthiest thing to way to eat something is to eat it raw, but you can't eat everything raw. Like, for example, you can't eat meat raw, most meat raw. So for that reason, if you cook it on like a pan, like, or if you boil it, boiling is the least nutritionally corrosive, or like it breaks down the least amount of nutrients, then it is like pan frying or searing, followed by something like an air fryer, which is hot air blowing in and like burning up the top and bottom of your food, or like browning the top and bottom of your food. And then the most nutritionally expensive way of cooking is frying. So it's basically taking like the food a notch lower in its nutritional value, a notch higher, sorry, in its nutritional value, because you're not deep frying it. And this is like an alternative to that. So that's really hard to like think of air fryers from a nutrition perspective.
Yeah. And also like when you deep fry, there are, you can't deep fry using all the oils in the world, right? You have to use specific oils to deep fry. I mean.
Yeah. For yes and no. Yeah.
But when it comes to getting the same effect with, say, French fries, I actually just slice potatoes really thinly and coat them in a little bit of olive oil and salt, not much, like maybe one spoon, and they come out great. But I don't think I would, I can't imagine myself ever like actually frying potatoes in olive oil, like deep frying them. Like I wouldn't. It would be so wasteful. And also like probably really bad for me. Yeah. I don't know. Depending on the kind of oil. I don't know.
Yeah, of course. That's true. I've actually heard that many times. Like, you love, like, people love to eat fried food, but they don't like to, like, make fried food because you realize how much oil is actually required, which is always, like, fascinating.
Except, like, I'm thinking, would a bhatura work in an air fryer? Because that is the one fried thing that I hold very close to my heart. And fuck, I haven't had any chole bhature for the longest time. Oh, God.
Your banya side is coming in. But it can work. Natasha's like vociferously nodding in the back. And
I
now
explain. Hi, guys. So, I mean, I don't know if... we've never tried bhaturas because bhaturas are a different composition and maida might react differently because there's more gluten in it. But we've tried like puris and pita and they all actually fluff up in an air fryer. So it's just about getting it really nice and hot. Shirin, and I know you said I don't preheat, but you have to preheat. Let it run at like the maximum temperature for a while. Yeah. Then put on a hot plate.
Oh.
And then put your
interesting
whatever bhatura puri onto that hot plate, and then it kind of puffs up.
So it's similar to like a pizza, like you would put a pizza stone in an oven.
Yeah, it's like a pita. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So we've made pitas in air fryers, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But you should try it.
I think I will. Thank you. This is helpful. Yes, my dinner plans are changing.
Oh, God. Okay, cool. So, you know, one of the things that I've always had in my house as a problem is that we would like marinate like a chicken and I put it in the air fryer and like fry it and like cook it. But then someone would very conveniently forget to clean it. So the next day it'd be a mess and nobody can use it because, you know, that basket kind of gets like dirty and there's like marinade everywhere. How have you like found a way to like clean and take care of your air fryer?
Literally just clean it. Like once it cools down, wash it like you would. Like obviously not the whole appliance, just the basket and the bottom piece. Wash it as you would anything else and... don't use anything abrasive. No scratches, please.
But it's always helpful to like, it's always helpful to like clean it right after.
You can never clean it right after because it's so hot. So it will cool down and things will congeal or, you know, kind of settle. But I don't know. I mean, it just cleans very easily. I'm not worried. So I think you should just be a little more disciplined about cleaning your air fryer, Ajit.
Yeah, I think that's the key learning here. I thought there'd be like some like special skill required.
No. I mean, all my special cleaning skills are actually reserved for my makeup brushes. So if you want to talk about that, I can give you some tips. But my air fryer has a very traditional routine.
That sounds like another podcast altogether.
Yeah, I think I, yeah.
All right, cool.
This was fun. Thanks, Arjit, for bringing in one fun fact this time instead of 100. I really appreciate it. And what I want to do...
Don't get as used a to it. Honestly, don't get used to it.
Wow, okay. What I would love to do as a follow-up is sort of like a bit of a challenge to you. Let's see. Would it be possible for you to look into your blog, find out which recipes could actually work with an air fryer, and link like your top five in the show notes? Because, I mean, it's very difficult to find air fryer recipes.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at...
Yeah, like, I mean, I've searched all over. I searched all over Bon Appetit. I searched all over YouTube and everything. And, like, I just think there's a dearth of good air fryer content. And now I even have, like, a collection on my Instagram where I save any recipes that I see which are marked as air fryer friendly. So, yeah, maybe you should do a series. Please do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I'll do. When we launch this episode, we'll do like before and after the episode, like the day before and after, we'll do some like air fryer recipes. I have some that we can definitely use here. And then I think the other thing is that hopefully this podcast will develop more people into air fryer people, and then we'll have more demand for it, and then we'll make some more recipes. But really, like, any recipe that calls for either frying or baking are easily like replicable to an air fryer, because they both use temperature measurements, and those temperature measurements are essentially temperature measurements that you can use for your cooking in an air fryer.
And remember, it's not just baking or frying, it's also just like regular stuff that you do on the stove, like making patties or like doing green beans or whatever. You can very, very easily just take your bakery and put it. But I do have to make a caveat here. At least the air fryer that I have, I think it is great for one person, two people, max. If I were cooking for a family, I don't think I would have the patience to go through the entire process. So just putting that caveat out there.
That's when you need a convection oven.
Which I have. So I'm okay.
There you go. Yeah. So that's like the elevation of it in many ways.
Pretty much. All right. Thank you so much for your time on this wonderfully nippy Sunday evening. And today I finally started feeling cold. I mean, it's been very warm. So really enjoying not having the fan on, really enjoying like putting some socks on. Maybe I'll eat something nice and hot now. Yeah,
and we'll have more episodes coming on now more frequently. We've been in a busy buzz of a time, lots of like events happening for both of us. And fun fact for everyone listening, like the last two times that I have met Shirin have been in cities that actually haven't been Delhi. So one was Bombay and then the other was like Istanbul. So it was it was great to like see you in all those like spaces, but like we're now back and we're gonna do more episodes.
We definitely are, and this was fun. I really hope next time we can do something to do with alcohol, because we've been talking about it for long and making promises, false promises. So
we'll ask people to tell us what alcohol based episodes they want. I think martini is definitely there. But like we're also hitting winter, so maybe something in the winter segment. Yeah, that'll be fun. All right. Thanks everyone for watching and listening to our episode. And we hope to catch you soon. You can follow the episode and the show at Arjit Vas and on the website, which is lifeofsimpletreats.com.
Bye.
This episode of Getting Lost with Arjit and Shirin is written and conceptualized by Shirin Rai Gupta and Arjit Agarwal. It's produced and edited by Natasha Rati Kapoor.